Okay, then welcome everybody. I'm so happy to have you here today. Today's teleconference is actually an homage to my good friend and colleague Bonnie Strelo, who got me interested or reinterested in mythology with upcoming teleseminar, Awaken the Hero Within. And she has a free pre-workshop coming up on Monday, November 2nd. Bonnie offered two pre-workshops this month to the Certified Circle Leaders teleconference and at my monthly telecircle, and they were real magic. People were just thrilled. So along with that, and then the fact that I happened to come across an old tape of a PBS show offered by Deepak Chopra on The Wizard, kind of gave me a sense of synchronicity, and I thought this would be the perfect focal point for looking at how we use the One Command in our lives. So today I'm offering you some special moments from The Wizard, courtesy of Dr. Deepak Chopra, with commentary by Dr. Katie Garnett. So I'm going to start out with the idea of the seeker. With the state of our world today, our politics, our economy, we've kind of been presented with a catalyst for many of us to become seekers again in our lives. And the creators of mythology and poets have actually been some of our greatest secret scientists. They have gotten to say in very subtle and mysterious ways what a lot of other people could not say as fact when the accepted facts were dictated by the beliefs of the age in which they were created. And for me, some of my own favorite sources of mythology is in science fiction. George Lucas consulted significantly with the renowned Joseph Campbell when he was writing Star Wars. And Gene Roddenberry got to teach about a better vision of our world, both from the viewpoint of science and the viewpoint of morality, using the guise of Star Trek. So going back to Dr. Chopra and his discussion of the Wizard is a reminder of where we go with the One Command, and that's where few have gone before. So the first lesson is that a wizard exists in all of us. The wizard sees and knows everything. The wizard is beyond opposites of light and dark, good and evil, pleasure and pain. The wizard can be male or female because the wizard is a state of being. So we find the wizard within in us as a part of the evolution of our consciousness. And the poet Rumi says, we are the unconditioned spirits. And so the wizards are waking up today in our society. And they're not famous people. They're part of the entire emerging collective consciousness, creating the critical mass that is required until we are all clearly wizards. So the wizard is our greater intelligence within, our greater capacity. Everything the wizard sees has its roots in the unseen world, and we are all co-creators. Nature reflects the mood of the wizard, so if you think of a tree, it's very clear in its purpose, and it expands exactly as intended. It doesn't wonder if it can be a tree, doesn't matter what kind of a tree. It doesn't worry that it's going to be a good tree. It is totally without limitation. But for us, in our fears and our unclarity, that's what makes us wonder who we are and why we are here and if we're good enough. But when we're quiet and go to theta, then we're open to knowing why we are here, and we're open to knowing that we are, in fact, perfection, that we are the ideal that our greater capacity intended. So Dr. Chopra also talks about three levels of growth. Level one, to be able to do what we want when we want. And some of us are starting there. Level two is the ability to fulfill our desires and know that we can. Level three is the ability to escape the prison of the known, our triggers, which creates our predictability. Level four, the ability to make spontaneously correct choices. And level five, to escape the boundaries of space-time. So it would seem in our work with the One Command that these levels are mixed in our experience. So when we ask the question, who am I? We can answer that question with an even better question. Who do I want to be? This is the question we can teach ourselves to ask. So when we look at what we have in our lives and we teach ourselves to ask, what do I want instead? Then we can create that. Václav Havel, president of the Czech Republic for the decade from 1993 to 2003 and Medal of Freedom Award, said, seek those who seek the truth and run away from those who have found it. And what that means, it's our job to seek our own higher truth from our own greater capacity. When we change the quality of our own attention, then we change the quality of our own intention, and then we change the total experience of our lives. So back to the wizard. The body and the mind may sleep, but the wizard is always awake. And the wizard possesses the secret of immortality. During the leadership seminar in August, During the leadership seminar in August, one of our leaders, Penny, had an amazing experience. While in Theta, she received a phone call from someone she did not know and who did not know her. It was a woman meditating in Tibet. And in her meditation, she saw Penny's phone number come up in her mind, and she felt compelled to call. And she told Penny she had felt our energies all the way from Whidbey Island, and Penny's energy in particular, and actually saw Penny's cell phone number. So we may all sleep, but the wizard is always awake and always creating miracles. The return of the magical can only happen with the return of innocence. There's a story of a young man that asks a master to teach him, and the master offers the seeker a cup of tea. As the young man drones on and on about all he knows, he suddenly realizes that the master is pouring tea into an overflowing cup. The teacher says, until you come as an empty vessel, I cannot fill you with anything. And have you ever noticed that sometimes the person who maybe hasn't been on the path that we're on, who hasn't necessarily been as deeply self-reflective as many of us have been practicing, they find something incredible like the One Command, and they change their lives immediately and in amazing ways. Whereas the people who know too much, whose teacups are already full, can tend to dismiss the changes and ignore their growth. So if we ever find ourselves resistant because our cups are too full, we get to change right then and there and surrender to the new information, to the change. We can sometimes mistake surrender with giving up, but it's not giving up or giving in. It's turning our lives over to our own greater capacity in order to live our very best lives. The essence of the wizard is transformation. Wizards don't believe in death. In the light of awareness, everything is alive. There are no beginnings or endings. To the wizard, these are only mental constructs. So to be most fully alive, we have to be dead to the past. We have to let those molecules dissolve and pass away. But consciousness survives the death of the matter on which it rides. And this is where we get to change our DNA with our commands. So you probably remember from Asara's book, The One Command, she discusses her own moment of truth when she knew she needed to die to her past in order to come alive to her new life. And that's what we do as we change our lives with our one commands. We recreate and recreate and recreate. Another aspect of the wizard is power, and power is a double-edged sword. Our ego power seeks to control and dominate. The wizard's power is the power of love, and the seat of that power is in the inner self. So Dr. Chopra has a few thoughts about power. Do we sacrifice the self for the self-image? I know I do sometimes. So think about it. Do you ever do that? He also says the ego is a prison, which starts by offering identity, but ends by taking control. And he wants it to be clear that the ego is not the true self, but it does give rise to the birth of the achiever. And so our waking state of consciousness is now changing. And we know that our consciousness creates its own physiology. So he talks about the fact that the ego can follow us like a dark shadow, and its power is intoxicating and addicting, but ultimately destructive. The eternal clash of power ends in unity, and the wizard lives in a state of knowingness. The field of awareness organizes itself around our limitations if we let it, if that's what we keep creating. But we know that we can recreate instantly. We know that the ego, or essentially the beta mind, reminds us with great regularity of our pretended limitations. All limitations are constructs, and as we reflect on them, we can often freeze in place. So with the one command, we get to rise above beta mind by going directly to greater capacity and changing our programs, creating a life we truly prefer. And always remember the life-changing question, what do you want instead? So knowingness orchestrates its own fulfillment because knowledge and intention are forces. What you intend changes the field in your favor. Intention compressed into words enfolds magical power. So the wizard does not try to solve the mystery of life, but is here to live it. So sometimes you might notice that we work too hard and drown ourselves in the work on ourselves. It's especially important for us to remember at times when we feel directlessness or confused about which way to go, that if we start off in a direction, any new direction, it may give us the information we need to guide us on our journey. So staying still is like dying. Take the leap of faith, and that is the way to live fully. It's so important for us to learn to trust ourselves. There's a wonderful old movie called Defending Your Life. And the people I talk to, when I say, you know, have you ever heard of that movie? If they have, they all seem to be in love with it. And it stars Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. And I think it came out probably in the 80s. But it's about a guy who gets hit by a bus on his 35th birthday and ends up very confused the next morning in some kind of a hotel. But it turns out that this hotel is a way station that looks pretty much like our Hollywood idea of L.A., you know, the one with all the smog. But what Albert Brooks finds there is that he's there in between lives, and he's there to defend how he lived in his most recent life. So he's scared, he's defensive, he doesn't know what the outcome means and what it's going to mean for him. And it's only at the end of the movie that he learns, well, what do you think he learns? Contemplate that for just a little while. So back to the wizard. The wizard is beyond waking, dreaming, and sleeping, and knows that there are infinite realms beyond there in consciousness. The wizard exists simultaneously in all times and sees infinite versions of every event. So for ourselves, when we're willing to let go of our expectations and open ourselves to be blessed by surprises, we open ourselves to the expansion that greater capacity has made available to us. Those of you who read the Yahoo postings on a regular basis will probably recognize Lisa's story that I'm offering here with her permission. And here's what she wrote recently. Hi, all. My husband and I are trying an experiment. Many of the gurus of the law of attraction teaching say that you must act like whatever you are seeking to manifest has already happened. My husband and I want to retire, but the cursed howls are preventing us, so we have set aside every Sunday to be retired. We will not discuss or work on any of our businesses, but can only do retired things, including not working on our house. It's a day of relaxing. What I noticed in me was a great shift in believing that retirement could happen sooner rather than later in my life. I also carry the belief that when you're retired, your finances are in place and you are successful. So that helped that switch also. I feel more at ease with our financial situation. And all of our friends loved the idea, so now we have a retirement club going. All of this is bringing about abundant energy in our experience, and I wanted to share it so that maybe it will give you, some of you, an inspiration for another area of your life that you're working on. I heard of a lady one time that wanted her husband to come back to her, so she set the table for two every night, and eventually they reconciled. So I think with a little creativity and a few commands, you can apply this to a lot of situations. Good luck, and thanks for all the support on the class, Lisa Peterson. So I want to thank Lisa for that. It tells us to take a fresh look at our expectations and recreate them and reform the energies of our life. So when we come from ego, we tend to think, when I get this, I'll do this, then I'll think this, then I'll be this. So our process is having, doing, thinking, being. But when we come from the perspective of the seeker, from greater capacity, then we think, I'll be like this. And then synchronicity or meaningful coincidence provides the rest. So then we're coming from the place that we really want to be, which is being. And then comes thinking, and then comes doing, and then comes having. But the being always has to come first. We have a tendency to experience our minds one thought at a time. What this habit leads to in us then is to miss true understanding, because our minds are so much greater than one event after another. The straight lines of time are actually threads of a web extending to infinity. And again, that's what we change with the one command. When we go into greater capacity, we see the wholeness of existence. We see the wholeness of our own lives within that existence. And we get to learn how to trust ourselves. The wizard never condemns desire. It's by following desires that they become wizards. Every desire is created by some past desire, and the chain of desire never ends. It's life itself. So don't consider any of your desires useless or wrong, knowing that someday each is fulfilled. Desires are seeds waiting for their season to sprout. From a single seed of desire, whole forest grows. Cherish every wish in your heart, how it may seem. And one day, these trivial wishes will lead you to your higher self. And so we don't know, we don't have to know how it comes into our lives. We don't have to know the how. We live by that precept. I don't know how. I only know it is now and I am fulfilled. So our job is to lay the groundwork, follow any leads we can find in what we want. Prepare for the arrival. putting ourselves in that state of grace that knows when we say our command, it is fulfilled instantly. So in advance, we decide what we want, we go to theta, and we create it. Each choice brings us to what we want to see in our lives. We follow the directions that our choices take us, and then we continue to order up what serves our lives. And we wait in joyful anticipation, knowing that it's unfolding in front of us. We also need to remember that being a seeker means that the seeking is as great as the finding. And we get to change and replace that loneliness of the ego with the solitude of the seeker. The seeker seeks within while still able to interact with all that is. And that which the seeker is seeking is the seeker. So knowing that there's no out there out there, we make a decision to accept miracles into our lives. So Dr. Chopra describes his version of subtle action. And his list says, you go inside and make your intention known. You believe in getting results. You don't resist the process of change. Your body shifts effortlessly at the physical level. You repeat your subtle action until you have mastered the change you desire. Does that sound familiar? Our list is we go to theta and make our intention known. We totally trust and believe that our commands are fulfilled instantly. We practice non-resistance and accept and allow the change we have asked for. Our bodies shift effortlessly at the DNA level. We say our commands daily or at our discretion, and we trust the process. Dr. Chopra says that once we accept that we are supposed to struggle in order to survive, that presumption becomes our reality. So you and I know, with the one command, that we've changed that, that we think about what we want, and we command for what we want, and we release and give up the struggle, and we release ourselves to the life our greater capacity offers us. We command for it, it is there, and we are open to it. And so finally, I'd like to close with a reading from the Daily Om, which is this cool thing on the internet that sends things out every weekday. And it's the Daily Om reading for October 23rd, which seemed to be written just for me. But I know from experience that about 100,000 other people think it's also written just for them. And it's called Exploring Our Readiness, the In-Between Times. It could be argued that life is more about the time spent waiting for something to happen than it is about something happening. What this means is that big events in our lives are preceded by many days and nights of dreaming, planning, organizing, and waiting. The times of waiting in between the big events actually constitute the majority of our lives. These in-between times are anything but uneventful. In fact, they are rich with possibility and filled with opportunities for reflection and preparation. Like a pregnant woman awaiting the birth of her child, we have a finite period of time in which to prepare internally and externally for the upcoming event that will define a new chapter in our lives. When we find ourselves in an in-between time, we often can't help but feel impatient for the impending event. We just want to get to the future and have the new baby, the new job, the new house. And yet, there's a reason a pregnancy takes 9 months to fulfill itself. Nature provides the expectant parents with this time so that they can prepare the nest. This preparation plays out on many levels. Materially, a space must be created in the home, and resources must be set aside for the baby's future. Psychologically, a shift must occur in which the psyches of both parents agree to be responsible for a new life in the world. And emotionally, the heart must open wider to embrace and fulfill a new love. Wherever you find yourself in such a time of waiting, you might want to spend time exploring your material, psychological, and emotional readiness. For example, if you're preparing to move to a new city, you could make a list of things you'd like to do in the city you will be leaving behind, and go to your favorite places and spend time with old friends. This way, you will remain fully engaged in the present as you await your future, savoring the in-between times as a vital experience in itself. All right, I'm going to unmute now. All right. For being here, I'd like to hear now what kinds of things have come up for you in listening to Wizard.
Hi, Katie. This is Bernard.
Hi, Bernard.
Hi. This is just marvelous. I mean, you just unrevealed so many things right now. I don't even know where to start. I'm taking some notes, and I'm not very fast at writing, so I'm going to have to listen to the recording again. But so far, I've got a half a dozen of command on what you brought up of things that. This seems so obvious.
Get to the point, Ron.
We seem to overlook
them. Let me
interrupt
for just a second. I'm going to ask the people who aren't speaking or the whoever has the sounds in the back, if you wouldn't mind muting yourself. I believe it's star 4 or 4 star. Okay,
4 star.
Bernard, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. Thanks. And so things that we're taking for granted, things that are so obvious that we forgot. I know I forgot about them. You know, like being in the present, and it's something I've been working for the past week. Is being in the present, being at peace in the present, in the moment, and creating these supportive thoughts about the future in the present. And these are things that we heard before and so obvious that sometimes we miss it. So I really, really, really appreciate your teaching this morning. It's excellent. Thank you, Katie. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Bernard.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else has a comment? No?
Katie, this is Bonnie.
Uh-huh. Hi.
And you and I have talked numerous times about synchronicity and how things change simultaneously. And this morning when I was doing my normal 30-minute prayer meditation time, what I came to understand is using different words than the words that you were using today is the importance of sitting in the presence of what I have commanded for, not as outside myself, but as already fulfilled within me, needing and wanting attention. And that's what I have, and I'm going to be sending this out to the Yahoo group too, probably today or tomorrow, this concept, and you have brought it forward too, and I always love it. I know something is truth when I hear it from two or three people. The importance of once we have made that command, and as you always so beautifully put it, you know, just gently wait, and I'm committing to gently waiting like 10 minutes a day in what I call my arena of grace, my little spotlight, where I sit with what I have already commanded for and letting go of all the outside forces, letting go of the worries about is it here, isn't it here, where is it, why isn't it, and then just sitting with it present within me. And I want to thank you for this topic because it just reconfirms for me the truth of what I received this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments or experiences? Well, either everybody's in wizard land or I'm not sure. But what I think I'll do then, if there aren't questions or comments, is go ahead and mute again and do some commands. And these commands actually come from one of Dr. Chopra's books, his most recent one, on reinventing the body and resurrecting the soul. And these commands are very universal, and I think that they'll resonate with everybody on the call. So I'm going to go ahead and mute again then, and these are going to be stacked commands. All right.
Conference muted.
Okay. I'm going to ask everybody to get comfortable letting your energy create full comfort in your body and sending your energy down through your body and watching as it goes down through your legs, out through the bottom of your feet, and you're sending your energy deep into the planet. And as you do, you're passing all of the beautiful layers of our earth, the rocks, the soil, the water, the amazing creations of the precious and semi-precious stones, the gold and the silver, amazing and beautiful creations of our planet. You're sending your energy deeper and deeper and deeper until you reach the core of our planet. And in this electromagnetic center, your own electromagnetic energy is cleansed and purified. And you watch as you begin to bring your energy back up from the core of the earth. And you're bringing it back up through all the layers of the planet. Back up past the gold and the silver and the gems and the semi-precious stones, the rocks themselves, the soil, the water. You bring that energy back up through the bottom of your feet, back up your legs to your own core, and you watch as your energy encircles your heart 360 degrees. And with your eyes always closed, you glance down at your heart, watching your energy encircle your heart 360 degrees. And you allow your energy to spread out as it circles 360 degrees outside of your body, outside of your room in your house, and it encircles the planet. And you close that energy back in, pulling it back in as it encircles and circles your body, your core, your heart. You notice the beam of light that comes down through the top of your head and goes down through your body into the earth, aligning you with all that is. And with your eyes always closed, you follow that beam of light. And as you do, your eyes roll up in the top of your head as you follow that light out through the top of your head, out past the atmosphere, out past the stratosphere, deep into the Milky Way with its billions of planets and universes, and out the other side. And you follow it as it goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the dark velvet of space. And you notice suddenly that the black velvet parts, and there is the light of Source. And in that light of Source, you are in Theta. And in Theta, you listen to these commands. I don't know how things go easily for me, and I am at peace. I only know they do now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how I am calmly certain. I only know I am now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how. My answer is clear. I only know it is now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how. I am in total harmony with my situation. I only know I am now, and I am fulfilled. I don't know how. I am open to every possibility. I only know I am now, and I am fulfilled. And I don't know how I am whole. I only know I am now, and I am fulfilled. And in that space of fulfillment, move to the space of expansion. In this space of expansion and allowing, you may see things or hear things. You may receive information. You may notice an incredible sense of peace. You allow yourself, your experience, to expand and expand. Totally open to greater capacity. Now, as your eyes roll down and you bring your energy back into your body, eyes always closed, you can see your DNA. And as your body as your energy filters back into your body and you see your DNA, you watch as you unwind and unwind and unwind the old programming. And you wind in, rewinding and rewinding and rewinding the new programs of wholeness, clarity, harmony, joy, ease and peace. And then take in a deep breath. And when you feel like it, just open your eyes and bring your energy fully back to yourself. All right. Any questions or comments at this point?
Katie, this is Bernard.
Hi.
This is peace as it should be. That was amazing because this morning when we're doing our meditation in command with Christine, one of our commands is, I don't know how I'm going to be at peace in the moment all day.
Ah, wow.
Here you come. And so that's a quick answer from very, you know.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
Ooh. Everybody else? Anybody else, any questions or comments? Or okay. Well, that'll be our teleconference for today. What I'm going to do in this moment is I'm going to stop recording and say aloha to everybody, but please hang on. All right. And what we're going to do now is